This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, March 26th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, Amy Guida in Legal Issues in the News says even cases such as the Anna Nicole Smith death bring in pertinent legal issues. We'll also take a look at our forecast for the week from meteorologist Scott Olthoff. First, a look at today's news. Authorities in Vermilion County are investigating a shooting at a Danville home that left three people dead over the weekend. County Coroner Peggy Johnson says autopsies are scheduled for later today for the two women who were found dead inside the apartment and the man who was found dead on the street outside. Johnson says the names of the victims haven't been released pending notification of families. Danville Police spokesman Larry Thomason says a passerby saw the man lying on the street yesterday and rushed to a nearby fire station to tell authorities. He says officers arrived to find the two women inside the apartment. One of the apartment's windows had been broken out, apparently when the male victim jumped through it before collapsing in the street. An accident last spring in which three men drowned near a dam in northern Illinois has prompted legislative action, Amanda Vinicky reports.
The accident involved boaters on the Fox River in Yorkville. More than a dozen others have died at the same place. Republican Tom Cross of Oswego says this particular dam creates a hazardous backwash that can trap fishermen and boaters. There are other similarly structured dams elsewhere in Illinois. Cross says future tragedies may be prevented if people get sterner warnings of the impending danger. He wants the state to inspect dams on public waterways and, when appropriate, to cordon off no-entry areas.
If you get inside these exclusion zones, you can be charged criminally, which you don't want people to be, but you're basically saying to everybody, this zone is not good. Don't get near it.
However, environmentalists and others say these types of dams should be restructured or torn down completely. The Illinois House approved the measure, so now it heads to the Senate for consideration. The state already does some inspections of dams. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Kids who mow lawns during the summer months might have to find another source of income. A proposal being considered by some lawmakers in Illinois would ban children aged 14 and under from handling a container filled with gasoline. Krista Kukowski reports.
There are many safety features included on plastic and metal containers that hold gas for machinery. But Democratic Representative Barbara Flynn Curry of Chicago says it's not enough. She is proposing a measure that would ban children from handling containers filled with flammable liquids. Curry says this is another way to protect children.
There are all kinds of things that are, you know, really great about it, and filters, and, you know, you do things upside down, very, very safe, but unfortunately children don't have to do it the right way.
Curry also says a warning label would be attached to the container, but some lawmakers are worried the measure would prevent children from earning money. They say young kids often mow lawns, and the part-time work also keeps them occupied in the spring and summer. They want to see the age limit lowered to 12. The Illinois House will take up the measure next. I'm Krista Kukowski.
Closing arguments are expected today in the Madison County trial pitting a man whose wife died of a heart attack in 2003 against the maker of a once blockbuster painkiller he blames in her death. Deliberations could begin as early as this afternoon in the Midwest's first trial against Merck & Company over Vioxx. That drug was pulled off the market in 2004 by Merck after research showed it increased the risk of heart attacks and strokes. Patricia Schwaller of Granite City died about 20 months after she apparently began taking Vioxx. Schwaller's family says Merck didn't adequately warn of Vioxx's potential risks. Attorneys for Merck have countered that Patricia Schwaller's obesity, diabetes, and high blood pressure may have led to her death and not Vioxx. Experts say problems that marred last April's school assessment exams in Illinois are widespread and are likely to get worse. That's because only a handful of companies create, print, and score most of the tests in the U.S., and they're struggling with a workload that's exploded since 2002, when President Bush signed the education reform package No Child Left Behind. In Illinois, test results were delivered 4 months late, making the state the last in the nation to release scores used to judge schools under the federal rules. A survey by a Washington think tank showed 35% of state testing offices had experienced significant errors with scoring. 20% didn't get results in a timely fashion. Illinois saw more problems this month when students took achievement tests that contained as many as 13 errors. Nearly 2 years of community input into the future of Champaign County have been boiled down to an action plan. That plan will be formally unveiled later this week. It's the end result of the Big Small All Community Vision process. It began in the fall of 2005 with community brainstorming to determine what would make the county a better place to live in 25 years. Frank DeNovo is the manager of Big Small All. The planner with the county's Regional Planning Commission says the ensuing series of meetings came up with ideas to make the county more collaborative, prosperous, sustainable, supportive, and enriching.
We have crystallized in 35 objectives a statement of what the community agenda really is. We can say with some degree of confidence that these are descriptions of things that people would like to see happen on which there really is broad agreement in the community.
DeNovo says Big Small All is not closing shop with the issuance of the final report. He says the group's volunteers will assist community organizations as they work on the recommendations in the report. They'll also match residents interested in working on those projects with the corresponding community groups. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. When is something that looks like a duck and quacks like a duck not a duck? In some cases, it all depends on what the duck itself believes. Commentator Amy Guida explains what this has to do with the Anna Nicole Smith and Howard K. Stern case in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
When Anna Nicole Smith and lawyer Howard K. Stern held something called a commitment ceremony aboard a boat in the Bahamas several months ago, I thought that it might be interesting to write about the way in which courts view such public declarations of love in the United States, and whether such a ceremony might have any legal consequences. Little did I imagine how interesting. In the wake of Smith's death, with questions now swirling about Stern's possible inheritance and paternity of her infant daughter, that ceremony takes on a whole new significance. In many ways, it sounded like a typical wedding. People magazine reported that the couple traded vows in a shipboard commitment ceremony, then later plunged into the ocean. Okay, that part wasn't typical. Guests dined on fried chicken and supped champagne and cider. The symbolic ceremony offered the couple solace, the magazine suggested, after the tragic death of Smith's son, and showed that the two planned to do something legal at some later point. But now that Anna Nicole Smith, too, is dead, I'll bet that Howard K. Stern wishes that they'd made their marriage-minded intentions as clear as the Caribbean waters. As it is, by leaving their intentions murky, their leap of faith into deep water was figurative as well as literal. Tens of millions of dollars and even fatherhood may be riding partly on the legal interpretation of their ambiguous, free-spirited ceremony. Whether a wedding has occurred depends, of course, on the facts. Usually the law requires a marriage license, a solemnizing authority approved by the state, and the intention to be married. If those elements are present, in most cases, you've got yourself a marriage. In this case, Stern may be missing all three. Even when a couple goes through a more traditional wedding ceremony and recites the customary vows before a proper celebrant, the law may balk at recognizing a valid marriage if the bride and groom are in doubt. As one court put it, when two people participate in a mock marriage ceremony as the result of jest, exuberance, hilarity, or dare, and harbor no intention to be bound thereby, there's usually no marriage in the eyes of the law. Courts figure that it would be bad public policy to force two people who never really intended to be bound to be husband and wife until a divorce or an annulment. The only reason to enforce such a marriage, one author wrote, is the doubtful purpose of making other jesting, exuberant, hilarious, daring people think twice before tampering lightly with a relationship of such fundamental importance. So as early as 1870, courts held that loving words spoken in front of others do not necessarily make a marriage. That case involved a couple who married as the result of a dare accepted during a joyride. Same sort of thing in 1924 in West Virginia, when two young people agreed to marry, filled with excitement and exuberance spawned by a party. Courts aren't always so generous. If the couple followed a standard script for a wedding and included all the trimmings, the newlyweds may indeed be newlywed. Unfortunately for Stern, the script that he and Smith followed in the Caribbean was more unconventional and included mutual commitment, but not any intention to be legally wed. mere words, courts have written, will not make a marriage. And for Howard K. Stern, it appears, they won't make a fortune. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Unseasonably mild weather that we experienced, especially on Sunday with near record high temperatures, continues through the first part of this week, according to our meteorologist, Scott Olthoff. Our forecast for today, mostly cloudy, warm and humid across Illinois and Indiana, with scattered mainly afternoon and evening showers and thunderstorms. The highs ranging from 74 in northern Illinois to 82 in the south. Tonight, in northern and central sections of the two states, mostly cloudy and mild with scattered showers and thunderstorms, just mostly cloudy in the south with lows ranging from 57 north to 63 south. And for tomorrow, partly sunny, warm, and humid in the northern and central sections with scattered showers and thunderstorms, and just partly sunny skies in southern Illinois and Indiana, the highs ranging from 68 north to 78 in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, March 26th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.